This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosie Brick said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
I love Young Rock. Is that now built into the intro?
No, I just put it in expertly. Okay.
Whoops.
There's a drop.
Can we start off by saying on tonight's ENN, good evening to Michael.
What if it was a really hot-looking plumber?
Can we say good evening to Don?
I think Dan Gross is a very attractive guy.
And I can guess where this is going. Good evening to myself. I love Young Rock.
You saw that.
It was a big moment getting a tweet from The Rock.
Oh, it must be. I'm a little envious. It's like when Ruth Buzzy followed Don. I wondered why not me.
Or when, who was it? Doug
Danny
Gilmore
Glover?
Liked a tweet of mine.
Well, thank you. Anthony, I hope you got that. I don't know if Andrew could point you to some of Don's best random references about hockey players, but there are some very...
It's in the Hall of Fame. Doug Gilmore is not random.
But it's still random. I don't mean he's random as a guy, but like when you say random things like, I would eat with Owen Nolan, or whatever you said.
No, but I was trying to come up with an equivalent. I'm not as famous as you. I don't have as many like moments that you have.
Oh,
so when Doug Gilmore liked my tweet, that was something for me.
You know what? It should be. He was a great player. Guys, let's jump right into it. There's a lot to talk about. First of all, we'll start with the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant won't be rejoining the very oh-so-hot, Rick DiPietro-hot Brooklyn Nets right now. They've won 8 straight, but Durant will miss at least 3 more. He won't be back till after the All-Star break, the team announced Friday. They decided that he needs a longer recovery period. This came after a routine follow-up MRI on his left hamstring. So they want KD back at full strength, so he is going to sit it through the All-Star break. Now, speaking of said All-Star break, I got something fun for you guys. You know, the dunk contest is going to be taking place during halftime of the All-Star game on March 7th.
Why would they do that? Wouldn't they have it before?
I know it's a you know what? Because that means what? So halftime will be like 45 minutes?
I guess.
I mean, and by the way, let's be honest, it's all being done under the sort of eyewash of, well, we are doing this thing, but we'll do it all in one night to make it safer.
Right, so they could have done it before the game, so there's not some like time frame that you have to get the dunks in.
Yeah, I would rather have them had the All-Star Saturday equivalent, even though it'll all be on Sunday, at like 7 and start the All-Star game at 9.
Or, you know, start it at 5.
Or 6 and 8.
Is there going to be a 3-point contest?
I don't know. Andrew, will there be a 3-point?
I don't know. Not sure.
Well, here's
the regular season game now.
Here's the good news, though.
Good one, Don.
We're going to have someone to root for, potentially, in the dunk contest.
Obi?
They're saying Obi Toppin is going to be in the dunk contest. Now, he was asked about it and said, I haven't heard anything about that, but I would love to be in it. I grew up watching All-Star Weekend and watching the dunk contest. So he would not, he was being coy, but the word is that you will have a New York Knickerbocker to root for in the dunk contest.
That's wonderful news.
Kyrie Irving spoke, and not about the logo in this case. He was asked to compare the leadership in Boston versus Cleveland.
Well, one, I think, you know, there were a lot of people speaking for me or speaking on my behalf that really didn't know who I was. And I didn't offer that access to a lot of people because it's just the trust, you know, it's just leaks here, somebody saying this here in Cleveland and in Boston. And I'm not going to sit here and talk about Cleveland and Boston because I know where that goes and where that can go in terms of who you're talking about, what you're talking about. So I'll just generalize it. What I learned from those experiences was if you're not enjoying the journey, you're not committed the way that you would like to be committed. And I mean, every day. you know, even when you're tired, even when you're having good days, bad days. And, you know, you got to be able to galvanize the group even when it's low and even when it's high. It's just the balance of leadership, you know, and there isn't one leader, you know, and I've had to accept that too. It's not on me to lead the group by myself and be the hero that everybody wants to, because that's what America is. That's what this world is. They love to build you up, love to tear your ass right down. I'm grateful to be in this position to be able to set a better example now than I did then. And I take accountability for, you know, not necessarily stepping up to the plate or stepping up to the responsibility for my own actions. You know, I had a lot to do with the success and failures of the teams that I was on. I take, you know, my role very serious in terms of that. And I've been able to learn lessons from that to give to others. That's been the most beautiful part, is just to learn. That's the growth. So I'm just more excited about that than anything. And it's been able to translate here with the guys that are here. And, you know, it's always been bigger than the game for me, is what I'm saying. So leadership now is just about having fun and giving those guys the energy, galvanize the group.
Was that a cut, or were we playing his audiobook?
Can I say something that is not going to be met with the biggest embrace? He really likes the sound of his own voice.
Oh, he's the Bob with shoes in a basketball.
Boy, does he love to talk and loves to hear himself talk and loves to make himself the smartest guy in the room. Not saying he's a bad guy, but boy, does he love him some Kyrie.
But, I mean, coming from a couple of talk show hosts, is that really a fair
Listen,
analysis?
I despise the sound of my voice.
I don't
talk unless I'm paid to talk. He talks to hear himself talk.
Yeah, but does Don really have a kick coming here, though?
Doug Danny Gilmore Glover. Liked a tweet of mine.
It's a different feel. I know you're trying to be funny, but I've never seen any athlete go on and on and on like Kyrie. Everything is like this test of his character and the art, and you know he's a better man. Whoa, great! I love watching you play, Kyrie. Love it.
Listen, I know that I try to defend Kyrie in these situations because I think he's a good dude. I really do, and he's a phenomenal basketball player. But I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't hear at all what you're saying. Yeah, Kyrie loves to talk some Kyrie.
But why does criticism have to all of a sudden make him out to be a bad guy?
Because that's where everyone goes.
Well, then that's stupid.
A bad guy. I think he just really likes himself.
Yeah, I think Michael's
right. He's really impressed with himself.
That was a lot of conversation there.
Let's move on to Tiger Woods. Tiger has been transferred from the original hospital he was at to Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles. It's a level one trauma center. And it was about a 20-mile move. But, Michael, I don't know if that's an indication of anything positive. My guess is it is, and that it's the next step in him starting to recover. I read an article today sort of talking about what the injuries are and the level of work that needed to be done. It sounds like that if the screws and everything that were put in place work, full range of motion and sort of in normal living should certainly be, you know, more than on the table.
I think the move was that this is just more of it's a better hospital.
Yeah, and you have to wait until someone's
specialist.
And you got to wait till someone's in a place where you can move them, and then you do it.
Right.
Let's hear from Phil Mickelson, who spoke on Tiger Woods.
All the guys here understand and appreciate what he has meant to the game of golf and for us and the PGA Tour. And so we all are very appreciative and supportive of what he's done for us. But right now, that's so far from our minds. And I thought Rory McIlroy really said it well when he said that we're just lucky and appreciative that his kids didn't lose their father. So we all are hoping and praying for a full and speedy recovery, but we're also thankful because that looked awful, and we're thankful he's still with us.
Now, speaking of Rory and Phil are both playing at the WGC Workday Championship at the Concession Golf Club in Bradenton, Florida. And did you guys see the video of how close those alligators were to Rory?
No.
No.
Oh, my gosh. He has a putt, and there's a giant alligator, like, several feet behind him. And, in fact, I believe, Anthony, we have some audio of a conversation that took place with Rory right when he saw the alligator.
Damn alligator bit my hand off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, tournament down in Florida. I hooked my ball in the rough down by the lake. Damn alligator just popped up. cut me down in my prime. He got me. But I tore one of that eyes out, though. Look at that.
You're pretty sick, Chubbs.
Chubbs. Great job.
I still like Billy Madison more, but that's still very close.
I'll tell you what, it's very close, Don. It's very close. I mean, I think there's, for me, there's a rewatchability. They both have such great rewatchability. It's like Michael and Bridesmaids. You know, that's how I feel about Happy G.
Now, I think a lot of Sandler's movies are rewatchable. Little Nicky is the worst thing he ever did.
Ever.
Never seen it.
Oh, my goodness. Don't see it. It's disturbing.
That bad, huh?
It's so bad. There's nothing redeemable about it. It's not even funny.
I don't know how you guys feel about this. I'm not a Waterboy guy either, particularly.
It's not one of my favorites. It's okay.
So here's the question, then. The Talk real question us. Is, after Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, what is the best Adam Sandler movie?
Wedding Singer.
Is that the consensus?
Yeah, I think so.
And then you got to go Grown Ups.
No.
You know what's a funny Adam Sandler movie? UB Halloween. Not bad.
I don't know what that is.
It's the one that was just released on Halloween on Netflix.
What about Big Daddy?
Yeah, Big Daddy might be.
Big
might
Daddy's
be right
not bad.
After for me.
Yeah, Big Daddy's not bad. Punch what? Drunk Love. If you're going to and that was
not
great.
A Sandler Click. Movie.
You love Click.
Oh, changed my life.
No, it didn't.
Is Click
That's
a Sandler movie?
Part.
Yeah. It's a
I don't think he didn't write it.
Well, that's what I mean. Like not, Spanglish not. Is not an Adam Sandler movie.
No.
What about
Rain or Me is not a Sandler
hold
movie.
Hold on. What about the great and underrated 50 First Dates?
Very good. Yeah. Good call by you.
I smell a top five on Monday.
What about Deuce Bigelow?
That wasn't his.
Yeah, it was. It was a small. He had a significant part in it. That's not his movie.
It was David Spade's movie, right?
No, Rob Schneider.
Oh, Rob Schneider.
The great
Joe Dirt was David Spade.
I am one of the biggest Dirt guys in the business today.
Love Joe Dirt.
No, I there was a period where I watched Joe Dirtte so often, I can't even tell you. Love
you're
that movie.
You're troubled.
No, it is.
It's so.
It is a guilty
wildly
pleasure
underrated.
Of mine, too. I can't turn it off.
It's so great. If you've never watched it, watch it.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
In putting your foot in your mouth news, I'm going to try to get this wrong. Right, not wrong.
Greatest broadcaster of all time. I don't know if you heard that, Don.
Whoops.
While trying to get it right.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Wow, that is impressive.
Had
I wouldn't
some...
even have attempted it. That's the kind of name where Don, when he used to do the Wimbledon updates, would make it up.
Why not even?
Well, but he's a big name, so you need to try your best to get it right. He's a star for AC Milan. He's very outspoken in general, and is a Andrew. Safe to say, nozzle is a safe word to use here.
A lot of people see him as that. Yeah.
How do you see him?
I mean, he's a great player. He's a legendary player, but he's kind of a joke in that he's sort of built like a whole thing about his image. He's obsessed with himself. He refers to himself in is it the first person? Zlatan.
Third person.
Zlatan.
Michael
did this.
Hates that.
Right. Exactly like that. So he's kind of like a little bit ripe for mockery in that way.
So he
What a political answer by Andrew. Didn't answer if he liked him or not, but he just turned into Kyrie Irving.
Well, speaking of political, there's a part of his quote involving the word political that's one of my favorite sentences I've ever heard. He spoke about LeBron James and said, LeBron is phenomenal at what he's doing, but I don't like when people have some kind of status and they go do politics at the same time. Do what you're good at. Do the category you do. I play football because I'm the best at playing football. I don't do politics. If I would be a political politician, I would do politics. That is the first mistake people do when they become famous and they become a certain status. Stay out of it. Just do what you're best at because it doesn't look good. Do me a favor, Zlatan. Shut up!
I mean, I love all these people that say, he's essentially saying shut up and dribble, right?
He is saying 100%. That is shut up and dribble.
You applied that to everybody,
then no one would say a word.
Ronald Reagan would never become president. He would, shut up and act. Donald Trump wouldn't have become president. It would have been shut up and be a real estate guy or shut up and be a reality show host. I mean, it's such a dumb thing. It's a dumb thing to say. People have other interests, and they could be smart about things. That's a stupid, stupid thing to say. One of the most stupid things is shut up and dribble. Sorry.
On second thought, I'm sort of reconsidering what he said. I'm just kidding. Yeah, really horrible. And if you're going to be a political politician, then be a political politician. If not, don't be a political politician. Don't bother being political. Let's move along, guys. Something that's sad and being overlooked this year, at least especially on this program. I mean, I'm sure Andrew Gundling goes home and is consuming. Andrew, are you consuming a solid amount of college b-ball?
Not as much this year.
I haven't watched 1 second.
And Gonzaga is doing something historic. I mean, they are unbelievable. They were only up 2 at halftime against Santa Clara on Thursday, but they pulled away and won by 14. They go to 23-0. It was their 50th consecutive home win, the longest active streak in Division I, and tied for the longest streak in program history. It was their 20th consecutive win by at least 10 points. They're tied with the wooden-led 71-72 UCLA Bruins. I mean, this is an absolutely historically dominant team, and it doesn't really feel like anyone's paying attention.
Nobody's paying attention to college basketball. I mean, how could you pay attention to something that's so truncated? Iona doesn't play for 51 days, and then they play for a week, and then they don't play again. It's crazy. It doesn't make sense. Rick Pitino had it right. They should have delayed the whole season. If they started it now when he wanted them to start it and then have the whole thing in May, they would have been able to get through the season a lot better. Vaccines are more available. All the trends are going down rather than up. It made no sense to start it when they did. It was an insane money grab to have March Madness, and it's a terrible season. Terrible.
It's such a great point, Michael. If they had just started a couple months later, like right now, they'd be picking up fans. And by the time, if they were to do March Madness and do a special thing where it's called June Madness, they could have had half full buildings. We don't know.
Yeah.
But they couldn't resist it. The money's too big for March Madness. But here's my question. Are the ratings for March Madness going to be what they typically have been?
No. I don't think so.
How could they be?
I mean, there's not going to be a lot of known about these teams, and everything is down.
Now, I did hear this, though, and this is exciting. I didn't know they were doing this. In an attempt to sort of get things a little more energized before the tournament, not only are they doing the traditional tournament announcement special the day before in bracketology, they're actually doing a Boeheim nose-picking segment the day before they announce the teams. All visuals, Andrew, of your head coach picking his nose.
God hates me. Oh, that's must-see TV. I can't. I'll be locked in, Peter.
Now, is that
you know what's amazing to me, Peter? Do you know that Boeheim watches this show in his office, and he has to hear that? He has to digest what you just said, taking a shot at a Hall of Famer, a winner, a national champion, a guy that Andrew reveres. That's what you do? This guy listens to this show, watches it.
What do you do about Ballard? I'm sorry.
Ballard's nobody compared to Jim Boeheim.
Ballard's somebody to me. Guess what Jim Boeheim is to me?
But Jim Boeheim is somebody important to a lot of people.
Doesn't matter. It's so good to win an argument that succinctly. It doesn't happen often, Don, where you just...
How did you win the argument?
It's over. It's over.
Not over.
I should care more about Jim Boeheim's feelings than Ballard?
Ballard is fodder for this show. I've turned around on Ballard. I love the guy. Well, I'm sorry. You can't take down an iconic coach and talk about him picking his nose and just so freely do it when you know the guy is watching.
He's watching, Peter.
Well, isn't he busy?
He's watching tape and he's got the show on. He's a big Yankee fan. He has Yes Network on all the time. You're a lunatic. You've lost your mind.
You know, listen, I didn't say anything bad about it.
You said he picks his nose.
I pick my nose. I just try to avoid the cameras when I do so. That's all. Andrew, back me up here.
I mean, he's embraced. I think I've seen him make fun of himself about it before.
Thank you. It's just nose picking, man.
It's not a pick. It's a scratch, by the way.
Well, then he's DJ Jazzy Jeff, okay? Because
Did
you see this, Michael? Steve Simmons tweet?
What's that?
Steve Simmons is a columnist in the Toronto Sun. The Blue Jays will not have broadcast directly on radio this season for the first time. They will simulcast the TV with Dan Sherman and Buck Martinez.
Well, that's a tremendous...
That's the first step of Major League Baseball teams being cheap.
Well, I know what they're doing in Baltimore is already the start of that, right, Michael?
Yes.
They killed all the pre- and post-game?
And Gary Thorne, one of the great announcers of all time.
Exactly. Your pregame is going to be the windup of the first pitch.
And let's do it.
And on this day, back in 2012.
Strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
The greatest moment in bowling history.
And that was Gary Thorne.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Gary Thorne on the call for Pete Weber's big strike. That'll do it for ENN on this Friday night. I'm sorry, Mr. Boeheim. I apologize. Here, I'll get up there for you, too.
In the words of Billy Joel, life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. I'm afraid it's time for goodbye again. Rangers hockey is coming up next. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.